I'm Elliot Forrest from WQXR, WNYC, and the Jonathan Channel. A new musical has been playing at the West Side Theater on 43rd Street called Cagney. As you might expect, it's about the life and career of the actor and song and dance man James Cagney. Playing the title character is an actor who also wrote the music and the lyrics, Robert Creighton, who joins us now. Thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Happy to be here.
The most obvious aspect of this show is that you have a remarkable, almost striking resemblance to James Cagney. When did you become aware of that first?
It's funny. People say that. I was in acting school here in New York City. I grew up in a small town in Canada, but always wanted to live in New York. Came here to go to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, and I had a teacher there, a great teacher named Jack Milanos, who one day literally in class just looked at me and said, you know, you remind me of James Cagney. You kind of move like him. You have similar energy. You look a bit like him. I know you like to tap dance. And he encouraged me to watch his films. And I knew Yankee Doodle Dandy, but that was sort of it. And I started watching his films and instantly became mesmerized by him on camera. Felt a connection in a way, even though I guess I do kind of look like him. And I just felt connected to him right off the bat somehow.
Was it even in that moment you thought, I'd like to play him at some point? Or was it just sort of, all right, I look a little like him, let it go?
At that point, it was watching him in film. And when you're in acting school, you're so concentrated on craft and trying to like observe everything. And I thought, man, he's such a good actor, even in these stylized films that you believe every word that comes out of his mouth. And so my initial fascination was just him as an actor. And as I describe it now, I've sort of boiled it down to a sentence that how I play the character, he'll either, in any moment, he either is going to punch you or kiss you, right? He's always sort of forward moving, and he's that way in films. And I think that's why people are so drawn into him. And then I started reading about him and his life and his humanitarian stuff and just his life on the streets of New York. And he was kind of a guy, but loved to sing and dance. And I was kind of a guy, you know, like into sports and all that. But I really, my favorite thing was to tap dance. And just felt this connection. And then I had, right out of acting school, just coincidentally, had interaction with his estate because they were auditioning to try and do a play about his life. But they had put together a script that was really just chunks of biography. And it wasn't really a theater piece per se. They just wanted someone to imitate Cagney and tell these stories. And I auditioned for that and actually got the role. But that fizzled very quickly. But that is what lit the spark. I thought, oh, this really could be a show, and this isn't the script, but I'm going to do a show about James Cagney someday. And that's when it started, in like 20 years ago. So,
and your musical is a biography, yet the songs and the lyrics are written by you. I mean, you do get, and we're going to hear some a little bit later on, that you might expect
from
Cagney, but that's not the bulk of the music and lyrics in this show.
Well, how that evolved. So I sort of started writing a one-man show about James Cagney. That was my initial sort of vision. And I had a picture of how it was going to start and look, and I sketched out all the scenes and started writing it. And right when I was really fired up about doing that, I did a play by this playwright, Peter Cawley, Canadian playwright who lives in Los Angeles. A year later, I was in Los Angeles playing Timon in The Lion King, and I called him and met him, said, I'm writing this show about Cagney. Not to engage his help at the moment, just to tell him. I was telling everybody, let's put it that way. I was so passionate about it.
I know that feeling.
Yes. And he said, well, let's have lunch. Maybe I can help you. So we met, and that was really the journey right then is where it started to where we are now, because he helped me not just as a fan getting stories in and anecdotes and that kind of thing, but how to craft a show with conflict and, you know, what about his life was theatrical. Even if you're not a fan, people can come to the show and engage in the story of this man who started from the Lower East Side and, you know, was a real fighter, but then turned into this guy who fought for justice for himself and the people around him. We finished a version. He and I wrote the book. We had a lot of period music, but that wasn't telling the whole story. So I started writing music and lyrics. So I had about 9 songs and some songs of the period. We did a reading of that. And Florida Stage, a great theater that developed new works down in West Palm Beach, agreed to develop it, but they introduced us to Bill Castellino, our director, and Christopher McGovern, who's a wonderful composer. We began, the four of us, collaborating on it and powwowing in Florida and New York, and the songs of mine that were really worthy and helped tell the story the way we needed to stayed, and then Christopher McGovern took over and wrote much of the score that you hear at the show now. And Bill Castellino, the director, is the best thing that ever happened to us, smartest guy dramaturgically to help us break it down and craft it into what it is now, and we're very proud of it.
You mentioned the dancing. You know, obviously, Cagney was typecast as a tough guy. Did all those gangster pictures, and then you know, in Yankee Doodle and some of these, and George M. You'd see him dance and go, you know, you sometimes forget he could really dance.
Great dancer, and Footlight Parade. There are others, and then later in life, the Seven Little Foys with Bob Hope. I mean, he was in his mid to late 50s there. Yeah, he didn't train early on as a dancer, but he was a great imitator and he had great natural ability. And so he would watch a step and then be able to, you know, practice it and be able to do it. Even opened with his wife briefly a dance studio in New Jersey that didn't last long. But he loved to be known as a song and dance man. Even, you know, as you saw in the show, he resisted the gangster image, right? Because he wanted to put something that's not what he wanted to put into the world.
And you mentioned this already for you, because you're playing him, that you've been doing a lot of dancing for a while.
Well, I didn't start till late either. I grew up, as I said, in Canada. I wanted to be Fred Astaire when I was five. Like, that was my guy, Fred Astaire. And then Gene Kelly. And I really wanted to tap dance. But in my little town, I took two dance lessons when I was seven, and I was the only guy in the class. And I was scared the guys on the hockey team would find out I was in dance class. So I said to my mom, I'm not going back.
Don't tell them.
Nope. Yeah. And then I didn't really start tap dancing until I was 19. I learned a few steps. And then I moved to New York at 21 and got obsessed with it. And for 5 years, took four classes a week.
There's a lot of tapping
lot
in the show.
Now. And now I love it. It's my favorite. It's blissful for me. It hurts a little bit, but it never gets old. I love it every time.
And the auditions for all the other actors in the show, tapping was a requirement, right?
Big requirement. I mean, this is a show with only six in the cast and five of us who do major league tap dancing in this. It's not as they had to be really great tap dancers, really great actors, and really great singers. There's no hiding in this show. Everyone is featured. Everyone's a principal, you know, even though there's the four play multiple characters, and that you think there's 50 in the cast with all the characters they play, but they all have to really sing and dance and act. There's no hiding.
And were you pleased with the quantity of the people who came to audition? I'm just curious if tapping is something out there that is continuing.
Amazing. I said this out loud right after the audition. I love living in New York City because it really does compress the talent. You know, like all these, you think about all over Canada and the United States and the world really, and all these kids who dream of tap dancing or being on stage doing a show.
Right.
And guess where they end up?
They all
guess
here.
Where the best people all
right.
end up? New York City.
The people who played the leads at every high school
exactly,
show
they're
around
all here.
The country are all now competing with each
and
other.
And then the craziest part for me was they're all, you know, there's 50 of them in a room auditioning for the show that I created. Like, it was mind-boggling to me. Very, very surreal moment. I was like, man, I just love this town and love the talent here. I think you'll agree from seeing the show, the cast that we've assembled for this, there really are just, besides being great people and we have so much fun together, they're all really, really just high-talented people, you know?
In your show, we don't get to Mr. Roberts. We don't get to Ragtime.
Oh, so many things.
How hard was it to pick and what to include and what not to include in James Cagney's life?
As a mega fan, it's challenging. And not just the films that I wanted to include, but stories that I've – the catalog of stories that I've amassed over the years of researching him and then talking to people who knew him, you know, things that really shine a light – on who, what his character was. You know, things like he's doing a USO show, goes to do it, and the show gets rained out, and so they can't do the show, and people say, okay, well, you'll just go and stuff. Or he spent the whole night, literally all night, going to every soldier in every barracks and shaking their hand and thanking them for their service. And that's, you know, and so we have one moment in our show where I say, thank you for your service, Private, when the guy comes to talk to him. And the other day we got applause on that. That doesn't always happen, but I took it, and I got so choked. I had to just take a minute on stage. I got choked up. It was, because that's who he was too, you know, like that's who his character was. So we try and capture that essence in our show.
And if I understand it right, I mean, when I think of entertainers going to overseas to entertain the troops, I all automatically think of Bob Hope.
Bob Hope, of course.
And
he
Bob Hope
man.
Is a character in your show, but it makes it seem like in your show that Bob Hope got introduced to this idea through Cagney first.
Yes, and I don't know if that's true or not, but the show's about Cagney. So in our show...
so we're going to go with it.
That's right, we're going to go with it. Let's not let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Joel Grey also played George M. Oh. He's been somewhat of an influence in your life, right?
He really has been. Of course, I was a fan of Joel Grey's and an admirer of Joel Grey's. And then a very funny set of circumstances. I was playing Amos in Chicago here on Broadway, which in the revival and where Joel Grey started that role. I left that to go do Anything Goes, where I played the purser and understudied Joel Grey. And of course, Joel Grey, and all this time right in there, I'm finishing touches of Cagney are happening. It's all I'm thinking about, as well as working on Broadway, thankfully. And Joel Grey played George M., won a Tony, and I'm going to play the guy who won the Oscar for playing George M. I mean, it was all these confluence.
Right. It was destiny.
And then I became friends. Joel Grey was so nice to me when I was his understudy. He hurt his foot, broke his foot one time, and I was on for 6 weeks. And he, you know, left me things in his dressing room and da-da-da. And has just been so – and even since then, we've become really good friends, and he's been so generous with me. Came to the show at the York and had – great things to say and helpful things to say, and he's just a real gentleman, and I am very, very lucky to have crossed paths with him.
Well, let's hear a couple of songs
that
Cagney was famous for. What are we going to hear?
I'm going to do a little medley of Give My Regards to Broadway and Yankee Doodle Dandy, because that's what we should do on July 4th. And they never get old. That's the real truth.
No.
I mean, you feel – I think people really enjoy the original score of our musical. But when the Cohan music starts, even people who don't know they know it, young people, even the less known ones, they just light up. I mean, there's a reason why they're part of the fabric of our country.
From the Off-Broadway show Cagney, here's Robert Creighton along with pianist Teo Sterrett.
Did you ever see to Yankees part upon a foreign shore? When the good ship's just about to start for old New York once more. With tear-dimmed eye, they say goodbye. They're friends without a doubt. And the man on the pier shouts, "Let 'em clear!" as the ship strikes out. Give my regards to Broadway. Remember me to Herald Square. Tell all the gang at 42nd Street that I will soon be there. Whisper of how I'm yearning to mingle with the old-time throng. Give my regards to old Broadway and say that I'll be kid that's all the candy. I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. I'm glad I am. So's Uncle Sam. I'm a real live Yankee Doodle. Made my name and fame and boodle just like Mr. Doodle did by riding on a pony. I love to listen to the Dixie strain. I long to see the girl I left behind me. That ain't no Josh. She's a Yankee, by gosh. Oh, say, can you see anything about a Yankee that's so phony? Up. My Uncle Sam, born on the 4th of July. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies. I am that Yankee Doodle boy. Normally you'd hear tap dancing here, but we're on the radio, so you'll just have to buy a ticket to the West Side Theater and come see Cagney. Right there in 43rd and 9th, and you'll get the whole team dancing. It's going to be fun. I've got a Yankee Doodle sweetheart. She's my Yankee Doodle joy. A Yankee Doodle came to London just to ride the ponies. I am that Yankee Doodle. I am that Yankee Doodle. I am that Yankee Doodle boy.
From the off-Broadway show Cagney, Robert Creighton, along with pianist T.O. Starrett. This is an open-ended show at this point.
It is.
At the West Side Theater upstairs.
Tickets are on sale right now till September 25th. It is open-ended, and we expect that we'll carry on. People seem to be really enjoying it. Last night, a gentleman waiting at the door and had tears in his eyes, and he said, this is my fourth time seeing the show.
Wow.
I just find it so moving and brings back such great memories for me. And young people, too, are coming now. And I always ask them, did you know who James Cagney was? And they said, no. But now I'm going to go watch the movies, which makes me very happy. So.
Robert Creighton wrote the music and lyrics and stars in the musical Cagney, now at the West Side Theater upstairs. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Great to chat with you.